This is Theatre Voice. I'm David Benedict, and some of us have been here before. Judy Dench, for starters. No, she's not joining Matt Wolfe of Variety, Heather Neal of the Times Educational Supplement, and Sam Marlowe from The Times, who are joining me to review Charlotte Jones's new play, which opened on Tuesday at the Donmar Warehouse. But she did sing It's Always Darkest Just Before the Dawn in the 1974 musical The Good Companions. And, wouldn't you know it, that Johnny Mercer line pops up in Charlotte Jones's The Dark, a title which the playwright uses for its metaphorical and literal associations. Of course, it actually isn't darkest just before the dawn. It's a good deal darker rather earlier in the night, and in the dark, it's a little before 8 p.m. when there's a power cut on a London street. In the course of this 80-minute drama, three neighbouring families are forced to confront what can only be described as their darkest fears. And in Anna Macmin's premiere production, played out across Les Brotherston's cunning multi-level set, using the same rooms for all three families, Anastasia Hilly and Matt Bardock play Louisa and Barnaby, a strung-out middle-class couple terrified of their newborn baby succumbing to cot death. Stuart Macquarie plays John, a wrongly suspected paedophile living with his aged mother, played by Sean Phillips, and Roger Lloyd Pack is a seriously fraught ex-lorry driver married to Brige Brennan as his shut-in wife, who is convinced she has cancer. Neither of these two have spoken to their 14-year-old son Josh, Andrew Turner, who sits upstairs playing dangerous games with strangers on the internet. When the blackout comes, Josh dons a balaclava and escapes to wreak havoc on his neighbours, while Barnaby goes next door to borrow candles. The wrong people end up in all the wrong houses, and the whole thing turns into a recipe for both terror and redemption. Charlotte Jones is most famous for her last play, Humble Boy, which played with ideas of Hamlet, string theory, parenthood, and beekeeping, so she's no stranger to juggling lots of ideological balls in the air. So, Heather Neal, has Charlotte Jones pulled off another juggling act in this case?
Yes, but it's a completely different kind of juggling act, and it's not ideas, it's people moving about and in out of each other's lives. This one didn't require enormous amounts of research. She didn't have to spend 9 months mugging up astrophysics or anything like that. In fact, she wrote it in 2 weeks, I think. And it's about urban living. It's mostly about things that we can all recognise, especially the lack of privacy, but beside that, the isolation of urban living. She talks of it also as a fairy tale, and I think there is something of that, the going into the forest of the fairy tale, out of which you might come transformed, or at least having learned. In this case, people go into the dark and come out into something like the urban light again, at least having learned something, but in some cases denying it.
Sam Marlowe.
As for it being a journey, to me it wasn't really enough of a journey, and I must admit that while it intrigued me and beguiled me a lot of the time, by the end I did find myself kind of saying, so what? It didn't really lead anywhere that wasn't kind of fairly predictable or terribly unusual.
Did you, Matt, find it too predictable by half, or were you engaged?
Oh, I was quite consistently engaged, I think in large measure to the power of Anna Macmin's production, which I thought was extremely fine, and the cast, who by and large I thought were terrific. It can't be an easy thing to pull off, not least because of where you have to be at every particular moment. The actual choreography of it is quite acute. The play seemed to me to be one of these plays that I would imagine Charlotte Jones just had to get out of her system, that sort of defies sort of a rational reason for being. It just had to be written. It's an extremely anxious play. It's been a long time since I've seen a play so obviously shot through with anxiety on the part of its writer, and it'll be a very interesting play, I would imagine, for her to look back on in 20, 25 years, because it almost seems like a kind of dramatized catharsis, which may be more valuable for her than it is for the audience.
I certainly feel that that anxiety is its prevailing note, that there's a temperature in the play that rises with the increase of anxiety. When the lights go out, everybody's problems seem to get magnified, either because of the intervention of different people arriving in different people's houses, as Matt says. The space is choreographed as people move in and out of each other's lives and up the ante. But for me, it seemed to be terribly uneven, and that you had one or two wonderful scenes where you think, this woman can really write, and you feel the entire audience lifting in the auditorium when Josh terrorises Anastasia Hilly's character. Yes. But at other times, you hear speechifying. Well, Heather, have you...
Sorry, I was going to jump in there, because I thought that was one of the occasions when the split levels actually caused difficulties, because I happened to be on the side, which at the Donmar usually isn't a problem, because the seats are all pretty good, the sight lines are good. But on this occasion, the moment where Anastasia Hiller's character was being terrorised was on the opposite side of the stage to me, and there was a sex scene going on much closer to me, and the focus was divided, and I thought that was one occasion where I did think it would have been nice to have had everyone looking at the one thing which was really important. But also this thing about fear, most of the fears in the play are either groundless or unnecessary or manufactured by people. I mean, Brian, who keeps the mallet under his bed, I mean, he's obsessed with the notion that people are out there hurting other people, but actually nothing happens to him except that his wife he finds in a flagrante with somebody else, which could give him a reason for using a mallet, but he doesn't do so. In fact, it's full of clichés, but very cleverly used. I think everyone's a cliché. In fact, there's the paedophile, the cop death mother, they're all people you've read about in papers, the newspapers. They're all headline people.
Did it rise above cliché for you, Sam?
Well, it did. I really liked the way that she evoked the terrible, dark, grey, unrelenting depression of the couple with the new baby, and the way that she explored the quite sort of primal murderous urges they feel towards this vulnerable newborn infant that they haven't yet even been able to name, because they're so terrified that something terrible will befall it because their previous child has died of cot death. And I thought that was quite brave, and it felt very real to kind of delve into the fact that their fear was such that they actually felt these destructive urges towards this little person that actually, on the other hand, they loved to the point of destruction almost. So that to me rose beyond cliches without a doubt. I thought that was very interesting. And the sort of almost Rumpelstiltskin like scene with the young Josh coming to threaten the baby, as you say, was I thought absolutely gripping. But I had a real problem with Roger Lloyd Pack's character at one stage telling his wife he's going to stove her head in with this mallet. And then when the lights come back on her, absolutely not having a problem about continuing to live with him. I found that very difficult to swallow and far too convenient, even though you do feel that something shifted and there's still something very much wrong in their household that will have to go on to be resolved. It just left me very unsatisfied that was sort of left dangling.
Yes, well, she takes out her feelings on the computer, doesn't she? That doesn't seem to be led up to very well. She suddenly is up there smashing the computer because her son doesn't speak to her.
Actually, though, I rather like that, because it seemed to me a neat trick that in a play that is obsessed with violence and the violence that people can do to each other and the way in which everyone seems to exist to be injured, there's this constant state of anticipation where something hurtful is about to happen, that the most violent actual gesture you see in the play is from a person against a machine. I thought that was rather cunning. I like that.
My problem is that for all of those positive things that we're attributing to the play, or indeed pulling out of the play, a lot of it felt to me to be deeply schematic. Actually, they seem to me to be terrifyingly under-dramatised in a lot of cases, which may be due to the fact that if you've got all those characters and all their stories, trying to fit that into 80 minutes is, I put it to the panel, fairly impossible. Whereas if you took the story of any two of them, or perhaps four of them, you could develop that. I felt that a lot of this was very, very undercooked.
Well, it seemed to me that there were two things going on. There was the section of the play that was almost ripped from Charlotte Jones herself, which clearly is rooted in her own experience as a mother who has a child who's now 20 months, I believe. And that was the drama of the couple who lost one child and who are now confronting the prospect of another. They have another child. They're deeply worried that something might happen to that child as well. And that seemed almost unbearably painful and pained. But that seemed absolutely true. The bit with Sean Phillips and her son, although well enough acted, seemed to me entirely contrived and sort of diluted Alan Bennett. And then there was sort of the third bit to complete the triptych.
And actually, for me, the third bit to complete the triptych, the Breege, Brennan, Roger Lloyd pact, felt staggeringly underwritten. And Heather Neal pointed out earlier the business of sitting on one side of the stage, so not really noticing or being in the right place to see what was going on. I was busy watching something, and then I looked across to discover two characters having sex. And you think, well, I can sort of see why that's been set up because of what those two disparate characters are going through. It's just it hasn't been written. That element we have to take on trust, which seems to me to be rather problematic. What we haven't talked about really is the production and the acting. How did you feel about that, Sam?
I enjoyed it very much, actually. I particularly like Stuart Macquarie, actually, although I agree with you that's not very satisfactory, that setup at all. In fact, I thought there was a very weird shift of tone when Josh arrives in that household. And I can't remember what the line was, but there was a joke cracked, and it came after the tension of the scene with the threatening of the baby. And then he went into this sort of seductive rolling on the floor, trying to tempt John Stuart Macquarie character, which I couldn't... The tension had been completely dissipated for me by the fact that this joke had just been cracked, and I found those sort of jolting alterations in tone quite problematic all the way through. But I thought that the cast did a really fantastic job with some really difficult material in a very difficult setup, having to work in that very choreographed fashion on that very, very clever set.
And did the stylization work for you?
Yes, it did. The way that the scenes interacted, I thought, was very cleverly done. As for the humour, it seemed to come quite often just after a very bleak moment, as if she had to undercut. The moment which I found really very moving, when Anastasia Hiller, I must remember her name in the play, Louisa, the mother, describes how she sent a fax manically in a fax shop to thousands of people, anyone, any numbers, because she wanted to tell everyone that her baby had died. There's just a beat, and then someone said, "And did she charge you?" And everybody laughs. And it seems a shame that I feel Charlotte Jones sometimes should hold back on wanting to make us laugh. You know, there are times when she can just let us cry for a minute.
I thought the production was terrific. I was really very impressed indeed. It seemed to me that the play did what you hope theatre will do all the time, which is create its own world. And to that extent, Anna Mackman was absolutely Charlotte's best ally. What the play will look like in another production, I hesitate to think, because I think it would be a very easy play to do badly. But I thought it was very well served on this occasion.
I think I'm clearly quite a dissenting voice here. I did have more, in the end, I had more reservations than I had positive views. I think this play's a draft away from its perfect state, but the rest of you may convince listeners otherwise. Sam Marlowe, Heather Neal, Matt Wolfe, thank you very much.